Good morning to all of you. It's so good to be here this morning. See our number out here with us, sing songs of praises to our God, to pray together, and to study together this morning. A lion, a bear, and a snake. And I know you wanted to say, oh my, after that, but that's lions and tigers and bears. There's a good reason that when you go to the zoo and you see a lion and a bear and a serpent, that they're behind cages. There's a reason that normal people don't keep them as pets. We understand that principle. And we'll talk a little bit more about the significance of the lion and the bear and the snake a little later on in the lesson this morning. If you have your Bibles, be turning to the book of Genesis. We'll be there in just a moment. The book of Genesis. We're so glad you're here with us this morning, especially if you are visiting with us. If you have any questions about anything you see said or done here, please, please don't hesitate to ask. We'll love to sit down and talk to you about God's Word together. Matthew chapter 7, we'll be in Genesis in just a moment. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus is speaking here and he says, "Enter by the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter by it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. And those who find it are few." Jesus is making a distinction here, right? Between two paths of life. There's the narrow way, the narrow path, and the broad way and the broad path. We understand what that means. We know what that looks like to walk the straight and narrow. You hear that? Or to walk the broad way of sin. Jesus is making a distinction here. What you see is the character of that person, what they say, what they do, how they act, whether or not they're on the narrow or the broad way. What we're going to do this morning is look at an Old Testament account, a true story, and hopefully make some application using this scripture here of walking the broad way and walking the narrow way. Book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. There in chapter 13, Genesis chapter 13, what we have here is Abraham and Lot and all of their animals and their herdsmen are together. And in chapter 13 in verses 8 and 9, they're getting to be too big to be around each other. Their families are clashing. Their animals are clashing together. And so Abraham says to Lot, "You go one way and I'm going to go the other. Whichever way you go, we're going to separate and I'm going to go the exact opposite." That's verses 8 and 9. So Lot hears Abraham say this and he says in verse 10, "And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the Jordan Valley was well watered everywhere, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt in the direction of Zoar. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah." Verse 11. "So Lot chose for himself all the Jordan Valley, and Lot journeyed east. Thus they separated from each other. Abram settled in the land of Canaan, which while Lot settled among the cities of the valley and moved his tent as far as Sodom. Now the men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord." Lot journeyed east. Look at what the Bible said, what the scriptures say, why Lot chose that way, the land towards Sodom and Gomorrah. He chose it because it looked good. It was well watered everywhere. Think about what water would mean back then. Water was everything. Water meant life. It meant food, crops. It meant food for yourself and water for yourself and for your animals and for your family. You could thrive there. You could grow there. Where there is water, there are people. And where people are, there is sin. Look at verse 13 again. One of the saddest commentaries you'll ever read about a group of people. "The men of Sodom were wicked, great sinners against the Lord." But Lot doesn't consider that when looking east and then looking west. He He looks and he chooses very quickly which way he's going to go without thinking about the consequences. There in Genesis chapter 18, the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. God's going to go down and see. And if not, I will know. And Abraham, hearing this, intercedes for Sodom and Gomorrah. He mediates. He negotiates with God. Because he knows who's down there. He knows that his family went down there. Lot and his family and their animals. He knows about this land towards the east. He watched his family go. And so Abraham says to God, look, if you find 50 righteous people, would you relent on destroying the city? And God says, yes, I'll relent. Abraham says, well, what about 45 righteous people? And God says, yes. And 40, and God says, yes. And 30, and 20, and 10. 10 righteous people in these two cities, in that area, the Jordan Valley, and God says, yes, I will not destroy the city. And so we get to the main text of our time together. Genesis chapter 19, we're going to read verses 1 through 29. I know this is a longer passage than what we are used to, but I'd encourage you to pick up a Bible. There should be one very close to you if you don't have one. Read along with me. It won't be on the screen behind me. But Genesis chapter 19, starting there in verse number 1. We'll read the first 29 verses together. It says there, Genesis chapter 19 and verse 1, the two angels came to Sodom in the evening, and Lot was sitting in the gate of Sodom. When Lot saw them, he rose to meet them and bowed himself with his face to the earth and said, my lords, please turn aside to your servant's house and spend the night and wash your feet. Then you may rise up early and go on your way. They said, no, we will spend the night in the town square. But he pressed them strongly, so they turned aside to him and entered his house. And he made them a feast and baked unleavened bread, and they ate. But before they lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old, all the people to the last man, surrounded the house. And they called to Lot, where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them. Lot went out to the men at the entrance, shut the door after him, and said, I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. Behold, I have two daughters who have not known any man. Let me bring them out to you and do to them as you please. Only do nothing to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof. But they said, stand back. And they said, this fellow came to sojourn, and he has become the judge. Now we will deal worse with you than with them. Then they pressed hard against the man Lot and drew near to break the door down. But the men reached out their hands and brought Lot into the house with them and shut the door. And they struck with blindness the men who were at the entrance of the house, both small and great, so that they wore themselves out, groping for the door. Then the men said to Lot, have ye anyone else here, sons-in-law, sons, daughters, or anyone you have in the city? Bring them out of the place, for we are about to destroy this place because the outcry against its people has become great before the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. So Lot went out and said to his sons-in-law who were to marry his daughters, up, get out of this place, for the Lord is about to destroy the city. But he seemed to his sons-in-law to be jesting. As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city. But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. And as they brought them out, one said, escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away. And Lot said to them, oh no, my lords, behold, your servant has found favor in your sight, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot escape to the hills, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Behold, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved. He said to him, Behold, I grant you this favor also, that I will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Escape there quickly, for I can do nothing till you arrive there. Therefore, the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Then the Lord rained on Sodom and Gomorrah sulfur and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the valley and all the inhabitants of the cities and what grew on the ground. But Lot's wife behind him looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham went early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the valley, and he looked, and behold, the smoke of the land went up like the smoke of a furnace. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. I appreciate you reading that with me this morning. Appreciate your patience. But what an account. What an incredible true story. When you think about the men of Sodom, the men of the Jordan Valley, Lot and his family, his daughters, his sons-in-law, you thought he was just joking. And all the things that are going on. What are some lessons that we can learn from this account here in Genesis 19? Well, number one, you will always have people around you. When you think about what we're talking about with walking the broad way and walking the narrow way is hard. And Jesus says that those who find it are few. But if you choose to walk the broad way, that way is easy. And many people find that broad way. And whatever you decide to do, probably, more than likely, no one's going to oppose you. Think about this world. You want to drink alcohol? There is no shortage of alcohol in places that you can drink. You want to watch pornography? There's millions to watch it too. You want to gossip and backstab? There are people willing to listen. You want to do anything you want, have anything, whatever you want to do, do it. No one is going to stop you because it's the broad way. It's easy, and those who find it are many. You think about these cities, Sodom and Gomorrah. They're walking the broad way. They're described as wicked and sinful. There in Genesis chapter 19, there in verses 4 and 5, before they lay down, the men of God lay down, the men of the city, the men of Sodom, both young and old. Look what the scriptures say here. All the people to the last man surrounded that house. And they called to Lot, Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them. The Bible is very clear about who they are and how many of them there are. All of them. Down to the last man. And you and I have certainly heard about the sin that they are guilty of. And I don't want to skirt around it this morning because we shouldn't have to. They're guilty of the sin of homosexuality. Every man down to the last man. Think about that. Surrounding a house. They're walking down the broad way. Walking down the broad way, you will have people around you. Number two, you can follow your own heart. When you walk down the broad way, you can follow whatever is in your heart. There is sin in your heart. Go ahead, do it. You'll find people supporting you in that. I mean, you think about why Lot chose the Jordan Valley in the first place. It looked good. Instead of critically thinking, using his mind and critically thinking about what he was doing, he used his heart and chose quickly, without thinking about himself or the situation that he was putting his family in. Genesis 6 and verse 5, this is exactly why God destroyed the earth in the first place. The Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. There was evil there in man's heart. In our context there in Genesis 19, verses 6 and 7, Lot went out to the men at the entrance, shut the door after him, and said, I beg you, my brothers, do not act so wickedly. Lot recognized where this wickedness, this sinful attitude was coming from. It was coming from their hearts. Walking down the Broadway, you can follow your own heart. Number three, you don't have to answer to authority. You don't have to answer to any authority or judge or ruler or master. You just do whatever you feel like doing. There in verses 8 and 9, behold, I have two daughters, Lot says, who have not known any man. Let me bring them out to you and do to them as you please. Only do nothing to these men, for they have come under the shelter of my roof. But the men of Sodom said, stand back. And they said, this fellow came to sojourn, and he has become the judge. Think about the last time maybe you confronted somebody about walking the Broadway. Something that they're doing in their life. It's not right. And maybe they try to justify or reason or give excuses onto why they're doing what they're doing. And they quote a scripture. The first part of a scripture, it's two words. They say, judge not. They know that very well. That's timeless. Because you look at what these people are saying here. The men of the city, they're saying, Lot, you came here as a foreigner. You didn't grow up here. Who appointed you to be judge? No one did. Judge not. You will not be the authority over what we do. You don't have to riot against our police to show protest against authority. You don't have to kneel during the national anthem. You don't have to accept who serves as the office of presidents to protest authority. All you have to do is live the way you want to live. You don't have to answer to authority if you're walking the broad way. Number four, you can be selfish. The men of Sodom, they were going to do what was in their heart. They weren't going to listen to any judge or authority. No one was going to stop them. And in verse 5, bring them out to us that we may know them. In verse 9, where we read from the second half of that verse, then they pressed hard against the man Lot and drew near to break the door down. Think about the very definition of selfishness. You lack consideration for others. The only thing that you're concerned about is myself, my own personal profit or pleasure. That's selfishness. They press hard against the man Lot to break the door. The men of Sodom wanted Lot to bring out the men of God so that they could commit sin with them. But they had no consideration whether the men of God wanted to do the same with them. Think about that. If the men of Sodom actually did what they were saying that they were going to do, in our country right now, today, they would go to prison for a very, very long time. And not for the sin of homosexuality, but for the sin of rape. That's selfishness. Taking by force what you want with no regard for anyone else. Walking down the Broadway. They have no regard for what Lot is saying here. No regard for personal property. And I think it's very easy to look at Genesis 19 and think, well, this is extreme. This is an extreme circumstance. Well, maybe so. But you and I have certainly acted selfishly. When we choose what is in our heart over God, that's selfishness. The very root of sin is selfishness. I'm choosing what I want to do over what God wants. Walking the Broadway means that I can be selfish. Number five, you can be prideful. Not only were these men selfish, they were rejecting authority, they were following what was in their own heart, But they were extremely prideful, not in a way that I'm proud to be an American. Prideful in a way that their ego was getting in the way of their desires. Genesis 19 and verse 11, and they struck. The men of God struck with blindness the men who were at the entrance of the house. You would think if you were blind, you couldn't see what you were going after, you would just quit. So that they wore themselves out groping for the door. They're acting selfishly. When all hope of getting what they wanted was lost, they continued anyway. They were literally blinded by their own desires. And they continued to seek and search out for their sin. Walking the broad way means that I will always have people around me. And I don't have to answer to authority. I can follow whatever is in my heart. I can be selfish. I can be prideful. You know, you look at this list here, and it can be easy to think, well, look at this example in this list that these guys, these people, it's obvious that they were walking the broad way. It's obvious that they were sinning, right? Anyone could have seen that these guys were sinning. Let me ask you something. Was it obvious to them? Was it obvious to the men of Sodom that they were walking the broad way? Because that answer is no. Walking the broad way of life is a path that sometimes isn't all that obvious to the one walking that path, is it? And sometimes it takes a couple of things to happen. Number one, you have to approach that person. Tell them what's going on and why what they're doing is not right. And you have to do it in a way that they understand. That's the key, right? You can yell at them until you're blue in the face. We've heard that. But until they understand what they're doing is wrong, they won't change. And maybe the other way for them to realize this is death. Death is the great equalizer, isn't it? You can be walking the straight and narrow. You do everything that you're supposed to be doing, and you still meet death at the end of that road. If you're walking the broad way, you have all the toys of life. You do what you want. You follow your heart, and you still meet death at the end of that road. The end of life is the great equalizer, because no matter who you are, that day will come, young and old. Broadway or narrow. And after death comes judgment. It is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment. Judgment is where we are judged. Our life is revealed. Whether we walk down the Broadway or the narrow way, our life is judged. At that moment, you won't have people supporting you. You will stand alone. You will answer for the authority you answer to in your life. You will answer for your selfishness and for your pride and for your heart. Death is the great equalizer. And now comes a time where I tell you what the lion and the bear and the snake means. In our Bibles, the minor prophet of Amos. Amos chapter 5, he has a message for the nation of Israel. And he says in verse 18, "Alas, you who are longing for the day of the Lord. For what purpose will the day of the Lord be to you? It will be darkness and not light. As when a man flees from a lion and a bear meets him. Or goes home, leans his hand against the wall, and a snake bites him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness instead of light? Even gloom with no brightness in it." Walking down the Broadway leads you to the day of the Lord, the day of judgment. And if you're walking down the Broadway of life, that's a day that's going to be darkness for you. So the question may come, that's a natural question. Well, what can I do to avoid the day of the Lord? What can I do right now, today, while I'm still living, to avoid the day of judgment? That's a great question. And that's the title of our lesson. The day of the Lord is like meeting a lion. Now think with me just for a minute how scary that would actually be. No cage, nothing separating you from you and the jaws of an angry lion. And the scriptures say that this man runs away. Good for him. He's able to flee a hungry lion. Then he meets a bear, an animal that can be up to 9 feet tall, 1,000 pounds, and can still outrun you. You escape the jaws of a lion, and now you have to face the claws of a bear. But the scriptures say that this man gets away again. He's escaped the day of the Lord. This man goes home. And think about what home means to you. Home means security. Home means safety. This man gets home and he's been running away from this lion. He's been running away from this bear. And the scriptures say that he leans his hand against the wall. To me, it's like he's been running and now he needs to take a breath. He needs to rest. He leans his hand against the wall and the snake bites him. He hasn't escaped anything. The day of the Lord, the day of judgment for you, is like a lion and a bear and a snake. And this is a day that you will not look forward to. You see, walking down the broad way of life is just a path of life that makes you run. Run away from the truth. Run away from death. Run away from God. And you do all of this work to avoid something you can't avoid. Because I'm here to tell you, you're choosing right now which path you're going. And walking down that path, and walking down the broad way, choosing to live my life that way, you will meet a lion and a bear and a snake. Jesus says, "For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction." The men of Sodom and Gomorrah knew their judgment when fire and brimstone was coming down on their heads. Listen, you know your fate and your judgment this morning. Jesus already said it. And there's nothing that we can do in this life if we choose to walk down the broad way to avoid that judgment. During your life here, you will have support. You can follow your heart. You don't have to answer to authority. You can be selfish. You can be prideful. But in the end, there's only destruction. And you'll realize that after this life and walking down the broad way, you've been massively deceived. Because in the day of the Lord, you will stand alone. Your heart's going to be revealed. And I promise you, you will know who the ultimate judge and authority is. The deception of the broad way is real. So what's the alternative? What other option do I have? What other option do you have? And that's a great question. I'm so glad you asked. Because Jesus says there's two ways of life. There's walking the broad way and there's walking the narrow way, the narrow path. And those who find it are few. But to those who find it, find life, eternal life. So for the 5 points that we've talked about for walking the broad way, let's go over walking the narrow way. Number one, walking the narrow way can be lonely, but you are never alone. Jesus says that this way is hard, that those who find this path of life are few. But just because it's lonely doesn't mean you're alone. Why? Because God is bigger than you, and God is bigger than me. It doesn't feel lonely right now. Come Monday morning, in the break room, or at lunchtime, how alone do you feel sometimes? or in the classroom at school? How alone do you feel at times? The Christian walk can be more crowded than you think, because God is bigger than you. He's bigger than anything that you're going through. Walking the narrow way can be lonely, but you are never alone. Following God's heart will lead you to the right path. Sometimes we give the excuse, well, the heart wants what it wants. Or we may say that we have experienced heartache. Expressions like that describe a fallible emotion. If we let our hearts dictate and decide what we're going to do in life, it's going to fail us. Our heart cannot lead us to the right path. Only God can do that. Number three, submitting to God means freedom. Submission means freedom. And that sounds like the biggest oxymoron. That doesn't make any sense. How does submission lead to freedom? It's submission to God, true submission of my heart to God, not my heart, not to the whims of my heart or the whims of an idol. My heart submitting to God means freedom, freedom from this world, freedom from destruction. Number four, love for God and others fulfills the basics of the laws of Christ. Selfishness is not what we were created for. We were not created to be a selfish people. Jesus says that the greatest commandment is to love God with all of our hearts. The second is to love your neighbor as yourself. Selfishness puts all of that on the table and says, no, I'm going to live for me. That's not what we were created for. And number five, in humility, God exalts. In humility, God exalts. God's plan for us is not to be a selfish people, and we're not to be a prideful people. We're called to live in the realm of humility. Why? Guess what our Savior did for us. Our hope in walking the narrow way is only in the fact that Christ did that for us. Our King died on the cross for you and for me. And in humility, God will exalt you. If you're a Christian this morning, which path are you on? I think it's a very typical mindset to say to myself, sitting there, that I'm a Christian. Of course I'm walking the narrow. I've been baptized for this many years. Of course I'm on the narrow way. Could I lovingly challenge you this morning and ask you, are you sure? Because you better be pretty sure. Maybe you started out on the narrow way, but through circumstances in your life, through actions, things that you've done, things that you said, you're now on the broad way. And maybe you don't know how to get back. Listen, that's okay. Because I'm going to promise you that there's somebody in this room who's gone through a similar situation as you. And God is bigger than you, and He's bigger than me. If you're not a Christian this morning, you've never been baptized, I have a harsh reality check for you. You're not a Christian, you're not baptized, you're on the broad way. And maybe you've never heard that before. That's what Jesus said. Salvation is not about being a good person, having good morals, paying your taxes, not lying or cheating. Salvation is not about us. Salvation is coming to Jesus on His terms. It's about repenting of our sins, confessing that He is our King. It's about baptism, submersion in water to symbolize submission of life. And then living your life on the narrow way. Listen, if you have questions about that, we would love to sit down and talk to you about what it means to be a Christian, what it means to walk on the narrow way. Whoever you are this morning, this invitation song is for you, to give you encouragement to walk on the narrow way. There in your Bibles, in our context, Genesis 19 and verse 16. Was there any confusion as we read that what was going to happen to the cities? Lot knew what was going to happen. Lot knew of their sin. Lot knew what was going to go on. Lot knew the judgment. And also, Lot knew what to do. In Genesis 19 and verse 16, it says, but he lingered. Does that describe you this morning? Listen, don't linger. You know which path you're on. You can't escape the lion or the bear or the snake. The day of the Lord, the day of judgment, will be darkness. Jesus is calling you, and he's calling me this morning to follow him, to follow him on the narrow way. Consider your walk. Consider your spiritual life. And if you have a need, please come right now as we stand and while we sing.